You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
What is up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook, and sponsored by Cowboys Experience for the ultimate game day experience, tailgating, stadium tours, all of the above. Be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com and use the discount code WORLDSTEAM2025. As always, I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I'm joined by my brother-in-arms, Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, bro?
Good. Getting closer to Christmas, so that's always a good thing. Yeah, kids are all wound up, full of sugar and excitement. But sorry,
Yeah, 2 days to Christmas, bro. That's it. Yeah, so, yes, but yeah, 2 days to Christmas. That means we're here for the pregame show for the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Commanders on Christmas Day on Netflix, which is great. And also, it's an early kickoff for us, Mike.
6 p.m., yeah. I mean, I mean, you know Dave from Blogging the Boys, the chief editor there. And I have warned him. I've said, listen, I know you want the article on Christmas Day. It's 6 p.m. by the time it finishes. It's about 9 p.m. here, so I'll be drinking responsibly. So could you just check over my punctuation and grammar, please? He's like, yeah, I got you. I was like, thank you very much.
Dave's a legend. Dave's a legend.
Oh, he's class.
Everyone at Blogging the Boys are legends. RJ, Dave, all everyone there, man. Like,
yeah.
But yes, we are here to talk about the Washington Commanders versus the Dallas Cowboys. And obviously, as we kind of talked about in our post-game show against the Minnesota Vikings. My God.
Yes.
I almost forgot who we played there. My goodness.
Well, the last game?
Yeah.
LA Chargers.
Oh my God. Yeah, I am losing my marbles.
Short turnarounds, yeah, is what does this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. LA Chargers we lost to. Sorry. I do apologize.
Yes. You got it, mate. You got it.
So obviously we got knocked out. We're officially eliminated from playoffs. The Eagles have unfortunately solidified the NFC East. They are going to go to the playoffs. And Dallas is now at the stage where do we keep our starters going right now? And obviously the last two remaining games with the Commanders and the New York Giants, both on the road. But with this game, I don't know what to make of it, Mike. I don't know what to say. Like, I'll be honest, Chris. We kind of talked extensively earlier on the UK Cowboys fans about should we play Dak, etc. Deep down, yeah, I want to play Dak because I want him to lead the league in passing yards and all those statistics. But at the same time, I don't want Dak to pick up any injuries that might hinder going into next season.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And there's always a chance, there's a possibility. But I'm being selfish at this point. The no Dallas Cowboys quarterback, which is crazy to say this, that no Dallas Cowboys quarterback has ever led the season in passing yards. That list is empty on the team sheet. So I want Dak to win it. So we've got it on there. Matt Stafford and Dak are in a head-to-head battle for that race. It'd be nice to get it. But I get what you're saying, that you don't want just for the sake of that record or to have his name up there. But yeah, I really want that one. Like, that would be nice to have. But, you know, in terms
The way I'm seeing it, Mike, sorry to interrupt you, but it's not Super Bowl. It's not a Super Bowl.
I know, yeah. I mean, defense, I say change nothing. Those guys haven't earned the right to have a break. You play them.
Ooh.
No, I'm telling you.
I agree. But it was just the way you worded it. It was quite blunt.
I'm being blunt when it comes to the defense at this stage. It's been It's been, I mean, I'm not going to say the words because it begins with an S and a H, but it's been a horrible show from the defense. So just keep them playing. You've got to, and also see what you've got there, because there's some guys you might want to let go. There's some guys that you want to see more of. Maybe some guys you want to bring back. So keep them going. In terms of the offense, you know, in terms of starters, what have you got to prove with Javonte Williams at this stage?
Nothing.
Yeah.
But he deserves a rest, I would say.
And you got him fresh, and he was getting. So I know the last game, the momentum shifted for him, but that was more game script because of the way the Cowboys were falling behind. Mm-hmm. But you know, CeeDee Lamb, you know,
I think he will have to play because of obviously. And we will talk about the injury list, but before we do that, I want to kind of mention about the history between the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders. So the rivalry between the Washington Commanders and the Dallas Cowboys, formerly known as the Redskins, which we can't use anymore, began in 1960 when the Cowboys joined the NFL as an expansion team. The two teams have faced each other over 130 times, including two postseason games. In terms of the head-to-head record, total games played is 131. Cowboys have won 80 of them. The Commanders have won 49, and there's been two ties on that in that history. So, a lot of games between this really historic rivalry in that way. I was just going to say, but the Dallas Cowboys have the much upper hand in terms of domination in this rivalry.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, like, you know, Washington have had their day in the sun. They've had their moment. But since they've kind of gone on a struggle, really. And like you say, it's a rivalry. It was the original rivalry. I know we see Eagles as the rivals. That's more because they're the biggest threat in recent past. But Cowboys versus Washington, I can remember it as a kid being that was the rivalry. That was the one. Them and San Francisco. It is a big rivalry. And that's another part to why I'm on the fence in terms of benching stars, because you've got two division rivalries. I know there's nothing to play for. There's only one thing more I hate losing, and that's losing to a division rival, even at any stage of the season like now. Two things. One, it gives you momentum going into next season. If you get two wins here, both against division rivalries, you can go into next season and go, well, I know it was bad, but the last two games of the season, we got victories. But it also shows that this team still want to win. I want to see them come out and show they have the spirit to want to win and not just be, going through the motions, the end of the season. You know, I know people will say, oh, well, you know, it's all about draft position. I'm not a fan of that idea either.
Yeah.
Just play your games, play to look to win. Some of these guys as well may not be on this team next year. So they need to put some good tape on these last 2 weeks to be like, look, I still battle, even at this point of the season. I'm still a good player. You know, oh, look what I did on this play. Look what and you can put some good tape on essentially what is two very bad teams to kind of bump your own self-stock up, really.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I've always kind of thought tanking was always a myth in that regard.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm not a fan of the whole tanking thing. These guys have got jobs.
Yeah. And if you're not going to be performing on the field and you're going to be a free agent, not many teams are going to look at you for a second chance.
Yeah, I know what the people with the whole tanking thing is more of it's a selfish attitude because it's I want to get the best draft stock. But what you've got to realize in reality is these guys are all you're always interviewing for your next job, essentially. You're always interviewing for your next, and you do that by being consistent, always playing, even when the games don't matter. And that includes the coaches too.
That's true. Well, we have got a wee bit to talk about this game, but we'll just dive straight in. We'll hit in with the injury report. So as of right now, Ryan Flournoy, Tyler Guyton, and Damavion Overshawn have not practiced and are expecting to not feature in this game. Tyler Booker, Josh Butler, Kalen Carson, Phil Maffa, Peyton Turner, Javante Turpin, Javante Williams, Quinnen Williams, Donovan Wilson have been limited. So there is a bit of a going into this game. And finally, with the Cowboys, TJ Bass, Kenny Clark, Malik Davis, Siobhan Revel, Nate Thomas were all full practice and are expected to play. On the Washington side of the ball, Nick Bolor, Marcus Mariota, Darren playing, Lauren Mitunso did not practice and are not likely to featured. Jaden Daniels has been limited and he's likely going to be benched essentially because of trying to keep him for next year. So they're going to be playing with their third string quarterback likely. And is it, what's his name?
Josh Johnson.
And in terms of the rest of Washington, George Fant, Brandon Coleman, Bobby Wagner, Colson Yankov, Eddie Goldman, and Jalen Lane were all full practice participants. So there we have it.
Well, Jalen Lane, although he's probably practicing, they did put him on injured reserve.
They did?
Yeah, I read somewhere this week.
I just literally just read the injury report as it just came out, just right there. Yeah, I've got it right here.
I will check on that while we talk, because it did come out on the report that they're putting him to injured reserve. But continue. I will check that out while we talk.
Yeah. No, this was posted by John Machota.
Yeah.
And that was literally within the last hour. While Mike checks to verify that, but checking in terms of the sporting odds of this game for the Washington Commanders and the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys are favourites at set at -7, at -105. The Commanders are +7, at set to -115. In terms of the money line, the Cowboys are -335. Massive favourites on the minor line. And in terms of the Commanders, they're +270. And the over and under is set at 50.5, with under being -106 and over at -114. All provided by FanDuel Sportsbook. Any thoughts on the sporting odds, Mike?
I mean, that the sporting odds, based on what they're saying, the Cowboys are heavy favourites. Based on, I feel that they're down to their third string quarterback. That is a big one. Bearing in mind, Washington have been very one-dimensional, brilliant in the running, where they rank very highly in the top five. But in terms of passing and passing touchdowns, they're way down bottom in the bottom five. 14 passing touchdowns, which is fourth fewest. So you think in this particular game, what are you going to do with a third string quarterback? You're going to try and lean on the run more, which kind of makes you more one-dimensional. If they start to get behind against the Cowboys' high-power offense, then you're going to feel that the game's going to get away from them quick. So the sporting odds is saying, yeah, that's what we see happening here. And everything on that spread tells you they're going Cowboys' heavy favorites here.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I noticed in the injury report in terms of Washington was Laramie Tunsil.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's going to be massive. And as we know right now, the one thing that we're not particularly happy about with the Dallas Cowboys is applying pressure right now. Yeah. And you've got the statistics right now in terms of how Washington have been giving up a lot of pressures recently.
Yeah, on the tackle side of it all, Josh Connolly, brilliant in the run blocking. He's kind of like the Terrence Steele of Commanders, brilliant in the run blocking, but he's given up way too many pressures on that side, leading the team in both penalties and pressures and sacks allowed, where he's on, I think, either 7 or 8 tackle sacks allowed. Has really, really struggled. On tape, what you see with Connolly on that side is a strong, powerful tackle, but is still learning the pass protection side of it all, the nuances of it all. So that can be attacked.
Yeah, and one name that kind of really screams to mind is Donovan Isaraku.
There you go. A guy, high motor, can get out of the blocks quickly. You put the pace car on the other side in terms of Dante Fowler. I know his sack totals haven't been great, but you do that on the other side, and then you just use your inside guys. Hopefully Quinnen Williams can play. You use him on the inside to stop the run, and suddenly the one-dimensional offense becomes no-dimensional offense.
It just really depends, though, Mike, because, like, do we shut down Quinnen Williams as of right now? Because it is a neck injury, I believe.
Yes, it is neck. Yeah, you're correct.
So if I was if it was me, I would shut him down for the season. I'm being brutally honest here. Like, I'm already thinking about next year. I'm already thinking about it.
Yeah, you got to have one foot in and out the door here at this stage, don't you?
And this is where I'm kind of referring to, like, even with Dak Prescott. Like, yeah, I'd be very happy if he can win the, like, passing yards, etc. But at the same time, I do have that apprehension of him being on the field. Now, when it comes to the wide receivers, though, Mike, so obviously Ryan Flournoy took that horrible knock against the Chargers. That player that caused the tackle, he has been suspended for 2 games. So he's out. He's basically out for the season for the Chargers, pretty much.
Yeah, it almost caused a fight, that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was atrocious. Yeah.
That was a targeting play.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. So it was the right decision from the NFL. But we're going to be out with Ryan Flournoy going into this game. So we're likely are going to be playing CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. But there is an unknown wide receiver we've not really seen on the offense recently. We've only seen him on special teams, and that is Jonathan Mingo.
There we go.
Now, going back to training camp, Mike, we spoke a lot on Jonathan Mingo. Like fresh start, he was looking great in training camp. Making really good passes, especially in the deep threat, especially.
True.
And obviously picked up the injury, but ever since then, he's just not been able to get back into the fold. Now, obviously, Jalen Tolbert kind of stepped up, but obviously he's been demoted.
Definitely.
Because of the meteoric rise of Ryan Flournoy. But this is Mingo's opportunity to kind of say, listen, I'm still here. I want to play. I look great in training camp. I want to go out there. And this is what you were talking about earlier, about players wanting to kind of make a name for themselves and try and, like, get that next contract. Because I don't know if, and correct me wrong, do you have Jonathan Mingo's contract by any chance? Is it up this year?
I'll try and get that up to you now as we speak. But we'll talk about Mingo while we're on the subject of it all. Yeah, you're right. Training camp, fantastic. In fact, some of it... Oh, and by the way, Jalen Ling, he is on injured reserve.
He is?
Yeah. CBS is reporting it of today.
Oh, wow. Like, well, seems like the injury report's not been updated then properly, but...
I'm not sure.
I mean, I was taking it from John Bachota there, so...
Yeah, I'm not sure what's gone on there, whether there's mixed messages or whatever, but they have said he's on injured reserve, which is crazy. I mean, the thing is with Jalen Lay, and I know we'll come back to Flournoy and Mingo in a sec, that, I mean, to be honest, in the receiving game, he wasn't really much. It was more of the punt returner, which he was really good at. But Jonathan Mingo, I will try and find out the contract information now. And it is... His current contract is due after 2026.
So he's got one more year left, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So... Even with that 1 year left, you would like to think he still wants to go out there and actually go out there, even for next season, to really ball out.
Yeah.
So this would be the start right now, essentially, for Mingo.
Yes. Yeah, he's done after 2026. So we've got another year of him. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, definitely a player to watch out for this game is Jonathan Mingo, ladies and gentlemen.
The only thing I would put to that is that although he hasn't been you know, Mingo hasn't been utilized that much. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll want to see what's in him. The only roadblock with him on that particular case is Cavonte Turpin, which they have tried to use this season.
I think that's failed, if I'm being perfectly honest, Mike. Like, we've tried to utilize him in the offense. Sometimes it does work, sometimes, but it's been more fails than success. Like, there's been drop passes there and there, but stick to his bread and butter. He is a kickoff return specialist.
Yes.
But, yeah. Like, I would keep him as that. So, and let the more physical, like, wide receivers go out there and actually do that. Like, the ones that's actually got more height, more, like, more muscle mass, ones that are more able to take on the tackles a bit more. So
keep Turpin as the gadget player.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. But definitely not use CD Lamb as a bloody gadget. I'm like, no, if that's one thing I will criticize Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams is the jet sweeps for CD Lamb.
Or just coming into the backfield.
Yeah. It just, it scares me. It really
does. It is scary to watch.
Yeah. So no more of that, please. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We beg you. But yes, going into the game also, we kind of talked about like Sir Javonte Williams. I think he will likely miss out this game. We can rest him. This is now an opportunity for like some Malik Davis to kind of look to kind of like
take a
role and see if it's something that the Cowboys would be interested in him getting him back for next year also. And not to mention, there was a name on the injury list that was said it was limited, and that was Mr. Phil Maffa. And we spoke about this last week, mm-hmm. about obviously he wasn't due to play against the Chargers, but because he's been limited, could we see Phil Maffa for the first time wearing the star in the NFL season?
There's a possibility. The other possibility is if they feel he's not completely ready to go, what you could do is you could also see what you've got in Hunter Lipke as a runner.
That very intriguing, actually. That would be quite good, actually. And Lupke is somewhat that gadget player as well. Like, he can be that extra blocker in the tight end. He could play that also. Like, would he come in place for, like, a screen maker, which is a lot of question marks surrounding him, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
But for me, though, we talked about Phil Maffa quite extensively.
Yes.
And we both mutually agreed that Phil Maffa we were more excited for in terms of the draft, in terms of Jaden Blue, because of the physical like presence he can bring to the running back, which is something that what Schottenheimer was first brought out. I want that really hard style of power running football, and Maffa fits the bill really nicely.
Oh yeah,
in comparison to Jaden Blue, so I'm excited for that if he does feature. So that's definitely another name to be aware of, ladies and gentlemen. But in terms of the defense, though, Mike, this is where it goes a little bit downhill for me. The fact that we know that Kenneth Murray is going to be on the field, and I hate the fact I'm still bashing him to this day. I'm sorry, but it's the absolute honest truth. I hate to bash a player. I mean, I'm sure he is a lovely guy, but it's just not good enough being on the football field for the Dallas Cowboys. It has left us open for multiple reasons, like from the running game to the passing game, broken coverage, missing assignments in terms of blitz. Like, it's just
coverage is bad too.
It's just not funny anymore. It's getting to the point that as if I had any more hair left, it would be all gone. You know?
I mean, there's now I would have been happy to be like, okay, let's leave him out and go ahead with what else we've got left on the roster in terms of Shamar James, Logan Wilson.
I tell you, that's a good point. I would actually, like, if that's the case, I would drop Murray, give Shamar James that full-on experience to play more in that starter role.
See what you've got
and see
him.
What's there.
Yeah, after he's... Because he spent, like, the last 3-4 weeks... Shamar James, now I'm on about. on just special teams duty only. But DeMarvin over, so that's the problem why I kind of want to keep Murray on the field is numbers, because Overshown is in, I know, because Overshown's injured, it kind of like forces your hand. So, but Shamar James wasn't like a game changer when he came in, but he also looked much better in the Chargers game than he has in the recent past. When he was playing linebacker. So there was an improvement there. So the arrow's up for him. So why not continue with that and kind of put him through his paces for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, totally. And even like so Logan Wilson, give him more game time as well, just to get him some more acclimatized, etc. Yeah. Like I know he's been here a couple of weeks. He's had some good games and some bad games, but I just kind of feel like we do need a bit of a shake-up in that regard. We need to see what we're working with for next year, anything.
The only way it would work to drop, or not drop, but make him inactive then, if you like, Kenneth Murray for this game, would be that you'd have to put Marquise Bell, because if you remember, he'd done that for an entire season.
You've got Leifu as well, remember?
No, yeah. I know you got Leifu there, but I'm just saying in terms of numbers, because linebackers, you know what?
We are slim at linebacker. Yeah.
So you could do that.
Yeah, we've been slim at linebacker for a good number of years. Like, I don't know why we don't put as much investment into the numbers of linebacker. I really don't.
It's always been like that, though. They've always had a weird relationship with the linebacker position.
Yeah, like five linebackers for the whole season. It's like, if it was me, I would rather have six or seven.
Yeah,
just to be in the safe side, like
you go back to the 90s, you know, they've done the same thing with the linebacker where they just thought they could just rotate. Ken Norton kind of goes off, and they're just like, yeah, we'll just get the next guy. And you're like, the linebacker position, very odd relationship they have with that position.
Yeah, well, that is one of the positions that we are going to be talking about a lot when it comes to the draft and free agency, potential players that we could pick up who are out of contract. Same with defensive end, which is probably now our number one priority, I would say, going into next year. Like, if it's a free agent or it's the draft, whoever that may be, I think that is the top priority, because we need to get someone who can actually get to the quarterback. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that needs to be... Everything, we always talk about this, everything always starts up front in the trenches.
Absolutely.
And everything fizzles back from beyond that. So you've got to sort it, because, like, we went up against the Chargers and got zero sacks. That's concerning. You're against the 32nd ranked offensive line and got such little pressure. I know some of it schematically is other things happening, plus Eberflus. I don't know what he was doing. They tell him to go to the booth to try and help out.
Like I said, you would think that would have actually helped him having a more bird's eye view of looking how the offense is lined up to help him with making the decisions.
And being with all your analytics and everything. I mean, the next stage really for him is to start calling plays from the parking lot. But, everything starts in the trenches up front first. You get pressure to the quarterback and they're panicking up front, it changes the whole dynamics. I like last year when Micah Parsons was in it. I know it's a separate story, that one, but you get to see what happens to this defense when you have a talented guy who can put pressure on the quarterback. It changes the dynamic of your defense. Haven't been able to do that this year.
Yep, totally. I mean, if there's one thing we have fixed, it's fixed the interior with Quinnen Williams.
Interior,
I think we're sorted for that. Like, we've got three guys. Obviously, there's going to be some contract restructuring in the offseason to try and help with the cap, etc. Yeah. Like, so therefore, we can actually have more funds available to bring in other free agents and help with the draft capital. The draft budget, essentially, for contracts, etc. So, but the one position we haven't really talked about is cornerback, because obviously my guy, Siobhan Revel, did not really have a great game. Well, let's be honest, not the past two games. He's not really had the best time. And you made a really great point on the UK Cowboys fans, is it worthwhile playing Rebel at this moment, because if he has another bad game, how much of a knock-on of his confidence is that going to be, and is that going to affect him going forward?
Yeah.
And I somewhat agree, because we know what he's capable of. We've seen it, but because he's been inactive for over a year prior to joining the Cowboys in the draft, who was the third pick in this year's draft, there is talent there. Like, he has a good, amazing ability, but because obviously the knee injury, etc., he is wearing a knee brace while he was playing games as well.
Yeah.
But I think with what's happened in the past couple of games, obviously that will have a mental effect on him. Him being a rookie, being exposed like that.
Mm.
If it was me, I was like, listen, just reset yourself. Take the rest of the games off and get yourself refocused for next year, and let the injury make, like, and you made a really good point. Did we bring Rebel in too early?
I think they did. Mm. Yeah. But I mean, like, their hand was kind of forced again because of numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, we said cornerback position before the season even started was an issue because of the question marks on injury, like with Diggs. Yeah. You've got Bland as well, who's mostly a nickel corner. You've got brought in Revel, who really should have just sat out the year. I do think they brought him in too early, but they brought him in early because of their failures to address the position before the season started in terms of bolstering themselves. Because then you can sit Revel out for the year and bring him back at the right time. Because certain things are there with Revel, you can see it all, but what you don't want to do is have these weeks where he struggles. And cornerbacks are all about two things: athleticism, which is obviously going to be lacking for Revel, barely a year removed from an ACL injury. And the other thing is swagger and confidence. And when the athleticism is trying to work its way back, and he's also trying to get back into football, into the swing of it all, and then you start chipping away at that confidence, you think his second year is going to, like, make things even worse, because now he's playing with very little confidence. The only thing I will say about why I would be against Revel is that very reason, is that he could get a confidence booster, because if you put Bland on Terry McLaurin, who's really the primary threat on that side, and you bracket him as well, take him out of the game, and you just say to Revel, look, this is the guy you've got to just take care of. Just take care of that guy. The rest will work itself out. They're not a high passing team. They're a run first offense, and with crazy rushing stats as a team this season, but they don't pass a lot. So you should be able to gain some confidence this week. Just do your job, check your man, keep it going. Then you've got the Giants. Giants are even in a worse position, in a worse state. So you could then have back-to-back confidence boosters, which then, again, as I was saying about momentum for next year, gives him huge momentum going into next season. And now you've kind of worked things and balanced it back out. So there's that opportunity for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a double-edged sword in some way. But folks, let us know in the comments what you think. Should we play likes of Revel in this game? Should we sit down Javonte Williams? Should we, like, let Dak Prescott go for the most passing yards in the NFL this season? We'd love to hear your comments wherever you are in the world. But now it's time for the fun part, Mike. It's time for Mike's Would You Rather.
Oh, no, do you want to do score predictions first?
We'll do that last. No, actually, no. Yeah, actually, let's do the scores and ball predictions first, then we'll go away. Mike's Would You Rather. All right. What is your score prediction for the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Commanders, Mike?
Yeah, injuries play a big part in this game. So I think the Cowboys will win this one. They beat the Commanders earlier in the season, 44-22. So I think this is another game where they will put the score down on the Commanders, and then, as we talked about, because they don't want injuries of this side of the season, they just try and run on the clock. So Cowboys win 30 points to 14.
So My reason for this is I am still skeptical of what we've got in defense. I don't know what we're going to do in defense. I don't know who's going to be starting defense, but it scares me. So, sadly, we are going to win, but it's going to be a close affair. It's going to be Cowboys 27, Commanders 24. Same score, I believe it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe. I could be wrong, actually. I need to double check that. But yes, bold predictions, Mike. What bold. Do you have?
Cool, it's kind of windy out there. Bold predictions. Okay, let's go with. I talked about him earlier in the show.
Oh, sorry. It was actually 31-28 for the Chiefs and Cowboys. Sorry. Do there apologize.
Problem solved. So I talked about him earlier. So I'm going to go with this. That my bold prediction is Hunter Lipke scores an explosive chunk play touchdown, 30 yards on a rushing attempt, and scores.
All right. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go really bold in this one. We talked about this player early on. He's not featured much this year. He's going to come on the field. He's going to get over 60 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that is Jonathan Mingo. That's a bold prediction.
You're going for your Mingo boy?
I'm going for Jonathan Mingo because we saw from watching the preseason and also training camp footage of how Mingo was performing before the injury. And he's got a lot to prove. So what way to do that is by getting over 60 yards and scoring 2 touchdowns in this game. So that is my bold prediction for this game, Mike.
All right, then.
All right. Time for Mike's Would You Rather. So hit me with it, mate.
Okay. So we all know Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat. Okay.
He's been in the hot seat for ages.
For quite some time. But what if he could redeem himself, which makes things tricky. So would you rather that Matt Eberflus steps it up in this game and the defense plays lights out, making you now question Matt Eberflus going into the final week of the season? Or would you just prefer Matt Eberflus to continue the trend in the defense struggle in this game?
I don't think it matters if Eberflus goes balls out in this game. Okay. And because we're playing against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing against the first-string quarterback.
I see
likely.
Where you're going.
So it makes no difference. Makes no difference. So,
in your terms of you, would you rather you just prefer that the defense plays lights out, but it makes no difference to your decision-making?
I would like to see him play lights out because that means it gives us something for next year for our new defensive coordinator, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Okay, I'm with you. And then my next one, although I already feel I know this answer, would you rather that Dak plays the full complement of snaps in this game, overtakes Matt Stafford by a long way, and is now the passing leader going into the final week of the season? Or would you rather that he gets sat for the entire game? So on Christmas Day, we get a backup quarterback versus backup quarterback in this game.
At least just so entertainment.
Just so Dak is preserved.
I'll be brutally honest. I think I would rather bench Dak, if I'm being brutally honest. I want to see what else we've got with Joe Milton as well. Now we're going into that conversation. I know you're kind of saying, whatever, but he has a backup. We do need a backup still for going into next year and stuff like that. Well, in fact, how long is his contract actually? Is he here next year?
I will check that one now if you want to fill in the gap.
Yeah, that would be quite handy.
Yeah, hold on, I'll get him.
Because if not, then we might be having to draft another quarterback or something like that in the draft, laying the 8 rounds or something.
That would be wild to have to, like, get another another quarterback to cover ourselves. He's here for some time.
Right. Okay. Right. So I want to see what else he can do. Like, if he can improve as a good, solid, reliable backup, if things were to go pear shaped. But I would bench that for next year, personally.
Okay.
I'm all about the team winning rather than individual. Like, we know Dak's good. We know that. Doesn't have to prove it to, like, anyone else. And, like, obviously, he's got his haters. Everyone does.
Yeah.
Everyone has haters. But to me, Dak's probably easily been playing the best football he has since easily his rookie year, I'd say. If not, it would have been, was it 2020 where he had the nasty injury? Or 2021?
I can't remember. Yeah, they all...
Because he got injured during the New York Giants game.
That's
and
right.
He was on path to break the NFL record of over 5,000 yards.
He was flying that year.
And unfortunately, he picked up that injury and he was out for the rest of the season. So, but this is the best he's played since that, I would say.
Yeah.
Easily. But there, yeah. But there we have it, folks. That has been our score predictions, bowl predictions, and our Would You Rathers. Hit us in the comments what you think as well. We love to hear from you. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, up Apple Podcasts. And before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X at Kenford Cowboy. That's Kenford with a K, Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. B.
It's I am P-Stew on X and Instagram. All right, folks, Christmas is upon us. Cowboys on Christmas Day on Netflix. It'll be 6 p.m. here in the UK. It'll be noon in Central Time in the US. And as from the last thing we will say, Chris, we will see you guys on Boxing Day. But from me and Mike, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And I hope Santa is good to you. And we can only wish for the Eagles to demise in the playoffs. That's our Santa wish list, essentially. That would be like Mike just did. But as always, folks, it's not just America's team. It is the world's team. Merry Christmas, everyone. And have a good one, folks. See you later.
That's a wrap on the World's Team Podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team. It's your team.
Touchdown.
It's the World's Team. Only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them Cowboys?